Well, coming up on this episode of New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, we are diving into the mailbag. Got three great questions today, plus legalese of the day coming your way next.
This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Welcome in. Glad to have you on the show. This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a three pillars of protection program. I am Ben George with Ted Alatsis, an attorney, and the Alatsis Law Firm in Brooklyn, New York. Ted, how are we today?
Doing great, Ben. Beautiful day out today, and hopefully spring is upon us soon enough.
Yeah, you got any big trips planned? I know you guys like to travel a little bit.
Just a couple of days away, for Easter, and we'll see what the summer will have in store for us.
Very nice. Well, we hope everybody is doing well listening to the show. We appreciate you being here. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. And if you want to learn more as we go through today or have a question for yourself that you'd like for us to feature potentially in a future episode, just log on to alatsislawfirm.com. Or if you prefer to call, you can always do that at 718-233-2903. So before we get into our mailbag, as we like to do, we have our legalese of the day. Again, something, a term that you might have heard at some point during the process while you're researching estate planning or just studying a little bit about it or just came across it somewhere. We want to try to clear things up a little bit more here on the show. So this week's term, the legalese, Ted, is burden of proof. So what is this and kind of how does this fit into the process?
Yeah, so when you're in a litigated estate or any kind of litigation, frankly, the burden of proof is the burden or the need for the person who's presenting evidence to present that evidence in such a manner so that it's sufficient to establish their case. In an estate planning context or in the context of a will or something of that nature, the burden of proof is on the person who's challenging the validity of a will or a document, because the document is presumption of validity when it's submitted. So the person who's challenging it has to have enough evidence to establish that, in fact, the document was executed improperly or violated some other norm or requirement that would make the document valid. In most states, in New York included, when you're challenging the validity of an estate, it's by a certain standard, which is basically the preponderance of the evidence. So more evidence than not that the document is invalid has to be presented by the person who's challenging that document in court in order for it to prevail.
All right, very good explanation of the burden of proof and what that means. So we'll do another legalese of the day coming up on a future episode. So if you have anything, again, something that you haven't been a little bit curious about or want to learn more about or have some clarity on, send it over to us at alatsislawfirm.com. Jumping into the mailbag today, got three questions again. Let's start off with one here from Julian. Teddy says, if I get divorced, do I have to redo my estate plan? Is my soon-to-be ex automatically removed from my powers of attorney, or can they still control my affairs until I have a new plan done?
Julian, that's a great question. And having practiced divorce law for a long time in New York, as well as estate planning, I can tell you that absolutely you should be redoing your estate plan the day after you're divorced. There are circumstances, and certainly there are certain rights that are terminated upon the issuance of the divorce. And some of that includes the right to collect against your will or against your estate if that document was predating your divorce. But in order to be clear, you really should take care of that in advance so that or upon your divorce so that such an issue doesn't arise later on. No question about it. You must change that estate plan. You must change beneficiary designations. You must go through that effort to make sure that your now divorced spouse is not the one taking your assets away from the people you intend that to go to.
Yes. And I'm sure that's probably a concern that most people have going through that divorce process is, what is this going to mean for them? But is it ever a situation where something automatically happens in these cases, Ted, or does all this have to be done by the letter of the law?
Yeah, well, so there are certain things, like I said. So, for example, if your spouse is your beneficiary of your estate and then you get divorced because you have a will that says that she is your beneficiary, for example, then that beneficiary designation can be deemed invalid, and just by evidence with the divorce decree and things like that. But why on earth would you leave it in place in the first place?
Yeah.
you've just spent a fortune of money, I'm sure, getting divorced for an extra $1,000 or so, or whatever it is, a mere pittance in comparison to what you've spent to get divorced. Why wouldn't you go through the exercise of changing your estate plan to make sure that it reflects your current situation? We've gone over this, you know, so many times that, you know, there are certain points in life where you should be redoing or relooking at your estate plan. This is certainly one of those events that would qualify for that review.
Where would this come up to if you're in the divorce process? Because I know that's a very stressful time, right? You have a lot on your plate. You're trying to sort through a lot of different things. Should the estate plan, and I know it always needs to be done as soon as possible, but is that something that can wait till after the divorce is finalized? Is it something you want to get ahead of as soon as possible? Where would you put that on the priority list?
So it really depends on, you know, how the divorce is being resolved. So, for example, if the divorce matter is being resolved with an agreement, you know, you may want to do it when the agreement is executed or shortly thereafter. If the divorce is being resolved as a result of a decision by a judge or a judgment of divorce after a trial, then you really should wait until the judgment of divorce is entered. But you know, the minute you have the opportunity or the ability to make those changes, you should make them.
All right, very good. Well, again, if you're in a situation, need help doing that, you can always get in touch with the Alatsis Law Firm at 718-233-2903 or online at alatsislawfirm.com. All right, second question here for today's show is from Wyatt. It says, we just had a grandchild. Congratulations, Wyatt. We want to leave her money for college. Is there any way to set that up now that would also take care of more grandchildren if we hopefully have them in the future?
Wyatt, that's a great question. And yes, congratulations. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can set up a trust that provides for your grandchildren and specifies that, you know, you could name, you know, the grandchildren you have at the moment and then indicate in that document or in that agreement that in the event that your children have other children, that they would also be included in the same proportion or the same manner as any existing grandchildren. So certainly you could provide that in your documents. You know, now, obviously, you know, there are other things that you can do as well. And as grandchildren are born, you can make amendments to that trust, make additions. That's one of those, you know, life-changing events, you know, or family changes to your family that qualify for, you know, review and making sure you do a simple update to your estate plan to include people you know are born that you want to make sure that they are taken care of. So, you know, that's a secondary option, but yes, you definitely could set something up to provide for grandchildren that haven't been born yet.
All right. Very good question. And thank you for that, Wyatt. All right. Last one here, a little more contentious to finish things off here, but this one's from Hazel. I recently got divorced. I want to leave everything to my children, but I don't want my ex-husband to get his hands on anything. He is manipulative and I don't want him to go after my children for money. So how can I leave money to my children without him getting his hands on it?
Okay. So, Hazel, you know, this is a great question. And a couple of, you know, the answer to the question depends a little bit on how old your children are. So if your children are under a certain age, basically the age of majority, what you may want to do is set up a trust and have a third party be the trustee of those funds for them until they reach a certain age. And then, you know, you can maintain that that fund in a trust so that they don't have complete access to it, which would also mean that as long as they don't have access to it, your ex spouse doesn't have access to it. You can similarly do a trust for them if they're over the age of 18, that also puts the assets into a trust, have a third party in control of those assets so that the children aren't manipulated into emotional ties to your ex-spouse, so that they're not manipulated into giving him money from their trust fund. Have a third party in control of it, and then set specific terms as to when and if the children, you know, are to receive funds and under what circumstances.
The exact reason why you would want to put estate plan in place, right? This you don't want to leave anything up for debate or leave anything open ended, and especially in a case where you are really concerned about the, you know, an ex-husband or someone that's in your life that may have ill intentions.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, that this is where this is a great example of where a trust is really helpful, because it does create that barrier to the beneficiaries having direct access to the funds without any kind of roadblock. And that roadblock protects them from other people, predators like, you know, their ex, like Hazel's ex-husband.
Well, tough situation, but I'm glad that you reached out to us. Hazel, if you want to follow up again and make sure that everything is taken care of, you can always get in touch with Ted and the team at the Latsis Law Firm at 718-233-2903 or online at latsislawfirm.com. All right, Ted, that will do it for this episode of the podcast. Appreciate you listening. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do so. We'll have another episode coming up soon, and we'll talk to you again then. Ted, take care. Have a good week.
Same to you, Ben, and have a good one.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.